morning, Rabbi Isai. The sugi we want to deal with this morning is familiar to us in our Torah-oriented society. We just don't always apply it in the area that we're going to be discussing. We know that our behavior shapes the kinds of people that we actually become. This is more than what the Sefer HaChinuch tells us, Achrei HaPu'ulos Nimshachos HaLevavos, but we're talking here about how holy behavior can make us into holy people, and godlike behavior turns us kiviyochol into godlike people. We're taught this in the Ramban, the first two sources. Daber al kol adas b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem kedoshim tihiyu. There's a mitzvah to be kedoshim, which the Ramban will explain in a minute. Ki kadosh ani Hashem elokeichem. The ki kadosh is also very difficult to understand, and the Ramban tells us. We'll look at first at the end of the Ramban source, the second to the last line. The hatam hakosuv she'omar ki kadosh ani Hashem elokeichem. Lomar she'anachnu nizke ledov kabo. Bihiyosenu kedoshim, that when we are kedoshim, we have the ability to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramchal in Derech Hashem explains that that's actually the goal of our whole existence in this world, is to enable us to be dovek b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu lanetzach, and that happens when we become more like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more we're like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more we can attach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean, kedoshim? So, we know what it looks like when we talk about our mitzvah observance. Kedoshim to you, the Ramban teaches us, is to do more than we're supposed to do. The essence of the Ramban is kadeshes atzmacha v'mutar lo. And we, I think, in our society have turned this into the concept of always going l'chumrah. We're always looking how to do it more and, quote, better. What we need to do is extend that to our business and professional lives. Let's take a look at the rest of the Ramban. The Ramban talks about how the Torah warned us against macholos asuros, right, and znus, and it allowed habia ish v'ishto, achilas boser v'yayin. I mean, the Ramban, the first line, the end of the first line. In kein, yimtso baal hataiva, Mokom lios shotuv bezimas ishto onoshav harabos, lios besov v'yayin v'zolulei botar lomo, and therefore we are commanded to avoid what the Ramban calls being noval gershus hatov. That's kedoshim tihu in our daily, in our ritual practice, in our eating, in our drinking, in our family lives. But then the Ramban says lafikach baha kosuv, acha shepiret isurim she'osor osom legamri v'tziva bedover klali. That we're required to separate ourselves from things that fundamentally we're allowed to do, and that's kedoshim tihi. And later on in the Ramban, he brings it to the sugi we're going to discuss today. Zed derech haTorah lifrod v'lichol b'chiyotzei b'zeh, ki achrei azhoros protei hadinim b'chol maso umaton shebein b'nei adam. After we have been instructed how to deal on a legal level with our monetary interactions with other people, lo tignov, lo tigzo, lo tonu ish v'shar azharos, the explicit prohibitions of cheating, of stealing, of lying. Omar bichlau v'asisa hayoshar v'hatov. There is a mitzvah of doing what's called yoshar v'tov, and says the Ramban, what does that mean? Sheyachnis be'esei hayosher v'hashvaya v'chol lifnim mishurat hadin l'rotzon chaverov. There's an idea of going beyond the line or beyond the letter of the law, so that the interaction is one that your friend is satisfied with. And the Ramban, in the next Ramban, we'll see it more explicitly, in on the pasuk v'asisa hayosher v'hatov, says the Ramban in the second line, omru zup shara the lifnim mishurat hadin. It means to be willing to make compromise. Compromise means that you are entitled to the money, but you're making a compromise. You're going beyond what you're required to do. Ki mitchilo omar shetishmor chukosa ve'idosa v'asher tiva. You're required, of course, to fulfill all the commandments. Ve'ata, and now yomer gam ba'asher lo tzivcha things that you weren't commanded to do. Teindait cholasos hatov v'hayosher be'enov, ki hu ohev hatov v'hayosher. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves tov v'yosher, and if we want to make ourselves more dome to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we also have to behave with tov v'yosher. We should point out that we're not here talking about tzedakah, we're not here talking about charity. We're talking here about your business transactions. How do you interact with your employer or with your employee, with your customers, with your suppliers? And then the Ramban continues. V'ze inyon gadol. L'fi she'i efshar lahasir b'tor kol hanagot ha'adam matshich yushchein avireya v'chol ma'aso u'matono v'tikunei hayishu v'hamedinos kulam. The Torah cannot enumerate everything that a Jew is supposed to do. Aval achrei shehizkir mehem harbe, after it mentions many, kigon lo telech rochi, lo tokum lo sitor, lo saman al dam re'echa, lo sekal ocheret, mitnei seva tokum, he's talking even here in social interactions, in our communal interactions. Chazon lomar b'derech klal shiata atov v'hayosher b'chol dover. Person is required to do tov v'yosher. Ad sheyikonesh b'zeh apshara v'lifnim mishuras hadid. When we're talking about a monetary dispute and you win money to which you're not entitled, so that has nothing to do with kedoshim to you. That has nothing to do with lifnim mishuras hadin. Just like eating a trade hamburger has nothing to do with kedoshim to you. We are referring to the person refraining from indulging in a permissible activity. You are allowed to do it, but you're refraining because it's not holy. In fulfilling our monetary responsibilities, we all know motzi mechavero olav haraya. And we know the lundus, that if because motzi mechavero olav haraya, I'm allowed to keep the money that's in doubt, so I can be mekadesh and isha with it, and it's called lachem for a lulav and an esrog. So technically the money is mine because motzi mechavera olav harai. But if I hold on to money that is in dispute simply because of that, then we may have not yet gotten to the realm of kedoshim tiyu of the asisa hayosher v'atom. We want to enter a different sphere, and we want to appreciate how important that is if we want to become the kinds of people that we aspire to be, kedoshim, holy people, ethical people, elevated people. So we're talking about kedoshim to you in the sphere of dine mamonos. Just like we do refrain from eating things that it has a hechsher, but you know what? Little question here, a little question there, not everybody agrees with it. It's pasnish for us to eat that, or it's pasnish for us to do that. Somehow or other, we don't say the same thing automatically in our dine mamonos. In our dine mamonos, we say, I'm entitled to it, and motzi mechaver olav haraya, and sometimes we even twist it beyond motzi mechaver olav haraya, and we find all kinds of reasons, as we're going to see in a minute. So we have to know that the asisa hayasher v'hatov is a tzibui of kedoshim ti. We're talking here about transforming ourselves into different people, more like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's see a couple of examples of this. Famous Gemara in Bava Metzia, in the end of Asochei Sa'umnin, Rabba Bar Bar Hanan, Tavru lehanu shkuloi chavisa dechavu. So his porters, his movers, broke some wine barrels that they were supposed to move for him. Okay, so they took his barrels, they were moving them, they broke the barrels, Rashi says, Bipshia, Shokali Glui Maidu. So he grabbed their coats as a security against the money that he was going to claim from them for the value of the wine. Also, they went and Amr L'Rav, they told Rav, hey, what's going on here? He took our coats. So Rav said, Omar Lay, Rav said to Rabba Bar Bar Hanan, Havluhu Glui Maidu, give them back their coats. Now the Gemara has just finished a discussion where there was a machlokus whether a person moving something and he breaks it accidentally, whether that's pshia and he's chayev or not. It's a discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara comes out to the conclusion, according to most opinions, that they're chayev. Omar le dina hachi. So Rav says, is this the din? I have to give them back their coats. Sorry, they owe me the money. Rav Bar Chanan says dina hachi to Rav. Omar le. Rav says in. Yes. Leman telech b'derech tovim. There is a requirement upon you. Telech b'derech tovim. So we right away see that it's not the absolute dine momentus of Geneva, but there's something beyond that.
Maybe it's just for him because he's in a very high standard.
That's exactly the point. Amrulay, then they said to him, they said back to Rabba Bar Bar Hanan, to Rav, in classic Jewish chutzpah, after they broke the barrels and they don't have to pay, they spent the day working. Amrulay, Aniye Anan, we're poor, Tarchinan Kuliyoma. We worked all day, Vikafina, and we're hungry. The less one need, and we have no money. So they want their day's wages now, after they broke his barrels. Omar Le, so Rav says to Rabba Bar Bar Hanan, Zil Hava Grai, go give them the wages. Omar Le, Dina Hochi. Omar Le, in the Orchus Tzadikim Tishma, the end of the pasuk. So we see here that it's a din. You notice Rav Paskin, the din on Rabba Bar Bar Hanan. So there are various explanations. The simple understanding should be is that Rabba Bar Bar Hanan at his madrega was required to behave in a more elevated fashion than the average person. Well, this is something we should be thinking about. If we always want to elevate ourselves and behave somehow or other on this, we would say, oh, that's for Rabba Bar Bar Hanan, that's not for me. Right? And we have to decide, if that's true, who are we going to become? Now, when we talk about Lifnim Mishura Sadin, we have to always realize that before you can go Lifnim Mishura Sadin, you have to go Bedin. I've been involved in these sugyas for a few years, and I was learning with a businessman, and we were discussing. He's very much into Lifnim Mishura Sadin, and he brings me a case. There's a certain deal that they made, and the person that they want wants out of the deal, and he and his partner are arguing about how much they should give him to get out of the deal. And he's claiming that his partner, he wants to do din, but I want to go lifnim mishurat hadin. And we sat down and we learned the sugya, and we found out that what his partner was offering was bichlal improper. And what he was offering was actually what they're mechuyav al pidin to offer, and if he wants to go lifnim mishurat hadin, he has to do even better. When we came to that realization, it concretized the idea that before you know what lifnim mishurat hadin is, you better know what the din is. Because a lot of times we think we're big tzaddikim, and we may not even be fulfilling the din. Let's see in Shulchan Aruch here just a few quick halachos about employer-employee relationships. Ha'okel b'shah she'ein lo le'echol. I'm not sure here if I'm dealing with most people who are employees or employers. Okay, so some of the halachos the employees love to hear, and some of them the employers love to hear. So ha'okel b'shah she'ein lo le'echol v'cheinim holech b'yadom imasha oseh o shenotan la'cherim over below taseh. If you take home a few computer disks from the office, or you take a 30-minute coffee break when you're supposed to have a 15-minute coffee break, you violated lo tigno. Plain and pashut. There's no lifnim mishurat hadin here. It's pashut lo tigno. Then here's a more subtle halacha. Ein hapoel rashai lasos melacha v'layla ulahatzkir atzmo bayom. Person not allowed to moonlight because he's not going to be as effective the next day in the office, and his boss is paying him for a full day's wages, and he's coming in ineffective. Moonlighting means to take another job at night, afterwards, so that, I'm sorry, it's an American concept, I guess. You don't have it in English? Yeah? Okay, good. V'lo yirav, here's another unbelievable halakha. V'lo yirav v'yisagev atzmo, you're not allowed to starve yourself, because you won't be effective, but look what it says, v'yachil mizonos of libonov. A person only has a very little bit of money. So what does a normal Yiddish mama or tata do? If I only have a little money to buy a little food, who am I going to give it to? I'll give it to my kids, and I'll show up the next day in the office hungry. Of course, if I'm hungry, I can't be effective. So it says that's usher. Why? Would you think to go steal money from the supermarket because your kids are hungry? Well, you're stealing from your boss. Again, I'm not your pop. This is how you implement this halacha l'maisa is another question, but be aware that your responsibility to your boss is to produce 100% of what you're being paid for. And the excuses of why you can't do it, that's outside of the din of Shulchan Aruch. And look at the next halacha. In case you're all thinking, well, for what my boss pays me, the crummy salary that my boss pays me, he really shouldn't expect more than that. So says the halacha, Chof, Muzar Apoel, Shelo Yevakel Ma'at Kan U'Me'at Kan, Elachayev L'daktek Atzmo Ba'an, has to show up on time, so they allowed in the times of the Gemara, they allowed the fourth bracha to be compromised on so that the Paul doesn't have to climb up and down and waste the balabos's time. So you'll say, well, for the salary my boss is paying me, why should I? So this week's Parsha teaches us, who was the employee that could never have had a worse employer? Yaakov was the employee, Lavan was his employer, the crook Lavan, tricking him back and forth. If anybody needed an excuse to not deliver 100% performance, it was Yaakov Avinu. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Hare Yaakov HaTzadik Amar Ki Dekol Kochi Avarati Es Avichen Lefikach Natal Schara Ba'olam Hazeh Shenema Vayifrat Eish Me'od Me'od. What the Shulchan Aruch is alluding to here is that even Kedai, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls your Parnasa, your job is to deliver 100%. Your boss is a crook, your boss is mistreating you. There's a remedy for that. Get another job. But if you're working for somebody, the halacha requires you to deliver 100%. We haven't yet gotten to the lifnim mishuras hadin. Right? So just be aware that when we talk about lifnim mishuras hadin, right, we're talking here about what I think they call the going the extra mile. Right? No, so before you go the extra mile, know what you're required to do. Now we have another very interesting story. Rav Gidol have mahapich behayi ara. Rav Gidol was negotiating to buy a piece of land. Ozo Rabbi Abba zavna. Rabbi Abba went and he bought it, not knowing that Rav Gidol was negotiating for it. Ozo Rav Gidol kavle li Rabbi Zera. So Rav Gidol went to complain about this to Rav Zera. Ozol Reb Zera v'kavli l'Reb Yitzchak Nafka. Reb Zera went, and he told Reb Yitzchak Nafka about it. Reb Yitzchak Nafka, who apparently was Rabbi Abba's Rebbe. Amar lehamtena shiala etzlein l'regel. So let's wait. When Rabbi Abba comes to be v'kavli pnei rabo v'regel, then I'll talk to him about it. Kisolik, Ashkechei, when Rabbi Abba went up, he found, he went to Reb Yitzchak Nafka. Amar le, Reb Yitzchak Nafka said the following example. It's a famous example in the Gemara. Ani hamahapich b'charora. A poor person is trying to get the baker to give him the extra cake at the end of the day. Ubo acher v'nokla. And another person comes in and he took it before he was able to convince, before the baker actually gave it to him. My, what's the din of the second person? So amar le nikra rasha. The din of ani hamahapich b'charora. Ubo acher v'nokla. Nikra rasha. Rabbi Abba immediately answered, nikra rasha. Ve'elamar, so Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka says, Ve'elamar, my time of Hachi, so why did you do this to Rabbi Gidol? Amar le lo havi yadana. I didn't know that he was negotiating. Okay, so right now we have a situation where Rabbi Gidol was negotiating, Rabbi Abba bought it, Rabbi Abba didn't realize that Rabbi Gidol was negotiating, now he finds out that he bought the land improperly. What do you do? But he did it unintentionally. Hashtanami Nesve Neholeimar. So Yitzchak Nafka says, okay, so then you should make, you know, get it back, sell it to Rav Gidol. Rav Gidol was entitled to it. Omar Leh, so listen to what he says. Zvune lo mezavnina lo. I'm not going to sell it to him. Why not? De'ara kamaisohi. It's my first piece of property. Velo mesamne milso. It's not a good omen for me to sell the first piece of property I acquired. Iboi b'matana nishkelei. But if he wants to take it as a present, I'm ready to give it to him. So to avoid not having that bad simon, he's ready to give it away because there was a dimension of impropriety in the way he acquired it, even though it was accidental. Wait, we're not finished yet. Rav Gidol lo nochisla. So he said, look, Rav Gidol, go take it. I'm removing myself from the land, you can take it. Rav Gidol lo nochisla. Rav Gidol wouldn't go into the property. Why? Because he didn't want to receive it as a present. Yeah, yeah. parenthetically here, you see here people who practice what they preach. Okay, right? You know, it's very nice we talk about all these things, but when it comes down to the pocketbook, somehow or other, we don't think it's applicable in this situation. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Abba lo nochas lo mishum dehafich lo Rav Gidl. Rav Abba wouldn't go into the land because it had been in negotiations with Rav Gidl and he didn't want to be called a Rasha, even though he'd already paid money for it. And Rav Gidl lo mar nochas lo ve lo mar nochas lo. So, and of course, Rav Gidl didn't want to go in because, so nematonot yichi, he didn't want to take it for free, but he was ready to pay money for it. But Rabbi Abba wouldn't take the money. So nobody went into it. Umiskarya arizirabonon. Now there was left over for the Talmidei Chachamim. Neither of them went in. So you see, something that was acquired problematically, even by mistake, he wanted to return it in the best possible way. He was ready to pay for his mistake, even though technically he was not liable for it. This is a classic example of the Asisa Yashar Bahatov Kidoshim Tihiu. We're looking to take our resources and elevate them to a higher level. Somehow or other, we have no problem spending more money for extra Hechsherim, and we spend a lot of money on Arba Minim, okay, and we want, you know, 167, I think that's what they're up to already, 167 Hidurim in our tefillin, okay, right, and we're paying much, much more money for it. And all of a sudden, when it comes to our monetary issues, somehow or other, that perspective isn't applicable. And these halachos, these psukim, these rishonim teach us how much it is applicable. Let's see one other gemara, just to realize that there is a balance here. It doesn't mean that you always have to just give away automatically everything you're entitled to. Because there's another gemara. Rav Kahana Yalvulei Zuzi Akitna. Maybe we should just give a word of background. All right. We know that that we paskin midi oraisa maos, money is not kona, only mishicha is kona. Right? That if I say I'm going to buy I'm going to buy 10 shirts from you at 10 pounds a shirt, and we make a verbal agreement, it's not binding. And if I give you the money before I made a kinyan, technically I don't yet own the shirts, and you haven't yet committed to sell the shirts. And midi oraisa, we can all back out until there's mashicha. On the other hand, if I do mashicha, even if I haven't paid the money, it's irreversibly binding. There is such a concept called mishapara, where a person who gives money to buy something, and another person took the money, then if one of them wants to back out, technically they're allowed to back out, but we have what's called a mishapara, a curse or something, not a good thing. Mishapara midor mapul. But that's only after you gave money. All right, so here's the Gemara. Rav Kahana Yovelei Zuzei Akitna. Rav Kahana received money for flax. Lesof Eikir Kitna. The value of the flax went up. So normally, if I receive money to deliver goods and the price of the goods goes up, what is my interest? My interest is to back out of the deal, right? We contracted at 10 pounds, and now it's worth 12 pounds. I don't want to deliver something that's worth 12 pounds when I'm only getting paid 10 pounds. So he received money, and now it went up in price. Also, lekami derav amar lei b'maida nakita zuzi havluhu v'idich dvarim ninu v'dvarim ein b'hem mishum mechasrei amana. So you have to give the goods that you received money for, and let's say if it was a 1,000-pound deal and you received 100 pounds, you have to deliver 10% at the old price. Or else you're going to get a Misha Parah. It doesn't mean that he was Mechuyev Al Pi Din, but it was a Misha Parah. And the rest was only words. And words is not even Mechasrei Amana. Deitmer, Dvorim, Rav Amar, Ein Ben Mishum Mechasrei Amana, Rav Yochanan Amar Yesh Ben Mishum Mechasrei Amana. What I want to point out here is that there was nothing was said to Rav Kahana, what are you doing here in Beis Din? Hare you're Mechuyev to deliver just because you said so. Now there is a balance, and there are times where you're not, where even with me, Mishura Sadin doesn't apply. I should also point out one other example in the Rabba Bar Bar Hanan case, where we said, well, given Rabba Bar Bar Hanan where he was, he needed to forego the broken barrels, he needed to pay the wages. There is no indication, and I have no doubt that it would never be considered, that if those poor workers had stolen money from Rabba Bar Bar Hanan, and Rabba Bar Hanan would have taken them to court for the money that they stole, nobody would have said Vasisa Yashavatov. Nobody would have said Orcha Tzadikim Tele. Right? That you're not always required to forego, even mitzad l'pnim mishuras hadin, you're not always required to forego what you deserve. If somebody steals money from you, you're certainly allowed, there's no requirement of kedoshim to you to say, I can forego the money. You want to give tzedakah, that's a different parsha. That's a different sugya. In the first half or the first third of the 20th century, the battle in the Torah community was over Shabbos. Keeping Shabbos. The stories are legend about how people had to find jobs every Monday morning. Then the battle shifted to Jewish education and to kashrus, and I think Baruch Hashem, the Torah community has won the battles of the 20th century. Shabbos is not a problem. Kashrus is not a problem. Chinuch is not a problem. The battle today is Kedoshim Tiyu. The battle today is Vasisa Yashar V'Hatov. The battle today, Baruch Hashem, has risen to a higher level of what kinds of people are we going to become within the confines of our Torah life. And even in many areas, we seem to be more adept at Kedoshim Tiyu. This is an area that I think we're too much influenced by the outside society, where money somehow or other is viewed as outside the realm of our religiosity, our ritual, and it needs to be brought much more in. We ask lots of shilas on lots of things. One of the things you also see from the Gemaras is the idea of going to ask a shila. Right? That we need to know that not everything that is permitted, which we know that in food and in our family lives and in all of the social interactions that we have, not everything that's permitted technically is something that we want to do. We have to realize also that in our monetary laws, not everything that's permitted is something we want to do if we want to raise ourselves up to a level of Kedoshim Tiyu. We want to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Ramban writes, Lomar she'anachnu nizkeh l'davka bo be Yosenu Kedoshim. That, I think, is something that needs to have much more attention paid to.